Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, a band from Finland that I've loved for years called The Rasmus. The singer stops by. The singer comes on the show. Not the greatest audio. He was outside in Hawaii, but still an interesting band from back in the day that I've always loved. Remember, we do the show every single Wednesday and Saturday. Big J's on usually once a week, sometimes two, and usually on Wednesdays, sometimes Saturdays. You never fucking know, but stop asking me. It's driving me crazy. But we do it every single week, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You go to gasdigitalnetwork.com/live and watch it live as it happens, or maybe subscribe at gasdigitalnetwork.com using the code SDR. If you're a fan of The Rasmus, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial free. Having said that, all we care about is spread the love. Get the show out there. Tell people about the show. Share it to your fans of The Rasmus or whatever other band we had on, because it helps us. We just had the best month we've ever had, and I'd love to keep that repeating. So here it is right now, The Rasmus episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again in some sort of bunker or something. I don't know what's going on there, James. What's going on?
Yo, man, I'm hiding from authorities, man. I'm fighting the law, and the law ain't going to win, baby.
All right, that's pretty good. Where are you right now, actually, though?
I'm in suburban PA. I'm closing out this venue that had comedy outdoors during the pandemic. This is the last week, and I'm coming back to say goodbye.
Oh, that's nice of you. And then Shannon is in the Gas Digital Studios once again with good lighting. It makes her look so pretty and sweet. And she's not sweet, but she's an attractive girl. We had some guy on recently that emailed me afterwards and said, I'm sorry I was a little out of it. I got distracted by your hot producer. Did that make you feel good, Shannon?
So at first, for a second, yes. But then when I think about it, I think that's just like a nice excuse to use for him just being off.
Oh, you think? I don't know. I think he's being honest. What the fuck do I know? Okay, so now these guys have been around forever. I've been a fan for a long time. They are from Finland. This is the lead singer. We'll say multiple awards won, 20 videos released in around the world, over millions of albums sold. 10th album is on the way. It is the singer of the band The Rasmus. I'm just going to say your first name. I'm not going to try and pronounce your last. It is Lori. How are you, buddy?
Good, good.
No, how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Ylonen? Ylonen.
Ylonen. I know it's tough, especially for English speakers. It's
for dumb Americans, we can't do that shit. It's confusing.
Yeah, my friends tell me that just get rid of your last name. Just be Lowry, you know. Forget
just
about
Lowry,
it.
One word.
Yeah.
No, don't pander to us dummy Americans. Don't pander, sir. Your society thrives and does well. Don't fucking cater to us.
Now, by the way, you are right now, you're in Hawaii. So at some point in your career, you're from Finland. At some point, you moved to Hawaii. Before we get into anything else, like, how did that happen?
Well, I lived in California for like 6 years before I got here. And then we came here for a holiday. And I was like, wow, well, I could try living in here. I mean, it's kind of close to California, kind of.
Kind of.
And yeah. Then we just got here 2 years ago, and it's been pretty incredible. I mean, it's far from anything. Basically, it's like pretty much the this other side of the world to Finland, and that's kind of tough. You know, sometimes I gotta go to Europe every second month.
I mean,
much.
What is that? Is that, if I don't know if my math is right, but is that a 400-hour flight? How long does it take to get there?
Well, it depends. I think fastest is like 24 hours, something like that.
Come on. And you do that every other month?
Well, I I tried it. Not with COVID though. I mean, it's been tough to travel anywhere, but
so
pretty much,
I just yeah. I know, because I try from the good thing about living in New York is Europe is 7-8 hours away, even less depending on where you go. So you have to first fly, I think it's 5 hours to California, 5 hours to New York, and then go to Europe, right?
Yeah. Plus all the waiting.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's reason enough to cut ties with Finland at that point.
I would find a new hometown.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing all the time. Like, stop complaining. You chose to live there.
Yeah, so. I mean, it is. I've never been to Hawaii just because it's the only way I would get there was first fly to California for the five, six hours, stay there for a couple days, then try California because it's such a fucking journey. But anyway, let's get into this. So first of all, the cool thing about the Rasmus is I first heard about you guys when Dead Letters came out, which is hard to believe that it's 20 fucking years ago now, almost, you know, almost 19, 20 years ago. And In the Shadows was a staple for me, both on radio. I was a radio DJ and in the strip clubs. That was a song that we would play. I would play incessantly. Just a fucking great song. But I want to go back to the fact that the three of you, you, Paulie, and Eero, I'm fucking up your names. Very rare to say this. You guys have been together since 1994, the three of you. That's fucking rare.
That is, yeah. We met in school, you know, with the bass player, Eero, we had our first band on the third grade. So we're about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And ever since, he's been the bassist. And I actually used to play drums before I started singing. So... yeah, they are my lifetime buddies and kind of my brothers. You know,
let me ask you this. In looking up some stuff that I found weird, one of the original members of the band, Johnny, I don't know if you pronounce his name, I'm screwing it up.
Yeah.
It says he left the band to do meditation in India. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, he was like, yeah, I'd like to have a break, you know, 6 months, a year, so something like that. And we were like, no fucking way. Like, we have to work. You know, we were just kind of getting started with the band. And I had actually quit my school because of the band. I wanted to give my everything. So, you know, the stakes were high. And one guy wanted to have like a 6-month holiday. I was like, go, you know.
Is he still meditating?
Another guy.
Is it 20 years later? Is he still meditating in Europe or no? In India?
No. But I think he found a wife.
Oh, okay. Well, good for him.
Slightly
yeah, something good.
Yeah, I guess the meditation brought him centered, and he was able to get a wife.
Right.
So now, the name Rasmus, which I learned, is Scandinavian. It's a meaning beloved. Is that right?
Oh, really?
You didn't know that? Come on now.
No, that sounds pretty good. But it's actually a boy's name, which is kind of weird and confusing in Scandinavian countries. Like, why did you choose this name? Is any one of you called Rasmus? Like, no, it just sounds cool. Because we were just thinking of a name that has like a good phonetic thing going on. And also we were fans of Primus and Rasmus, and they sort of have the R and S. And I've always been a fan of words that end with S, because I used to do graffiti, and that was like a good letter to end my sketches with.
How do you feel about the word penis? Are you a big fan of that word?
That finished second for the band name. Like, yeah. And guys, what are we going to be?
It's Rasmus or penis? I'll go with Rasmus.
It's good to have options.
And then at one point you had add the to Rasmus because there was like someone, a DJ or something, that had the word Rasmus.
Right. That was kind of a stupid thing. But to avoid confusion, we did that a long time ago. There was a Danish guy who was at the moment more famous than we were.
Mm-hmm. But so now, does that mean legally, whenever you write the word, you have to write it as the Rasmus?
I don't care, but, you know, I think, yeah, maybe legally, yeah. I haven't thought about it. It's just like, it came to stay. So
okay,
it's in the logo. So it's like, you kind of forget those kind of things. They become just like junk of something, you know,
right.
You don't really think about the name afterwards.
Right. Well, for you guys, I guess not. So now, one of the things that you did during the height of the pandemic, I would imagine to just bring some sort of reality into your world, or to make yourself feel artistic or whatever. It's a very different name. When I first saw the title, which was Bedroom Sessions, I thought it was going to be something very sexual, but it was not. It was doing, well, maybe, depending on who's watching it. But it was like you doing piano, guitar, multi-camera, solo song, some Rasmus song, excuse me, some The Rasmus songs, but then some really interesting covers. And the ones that fucking, I thought Blackbird was great and I understood it. It felt like it made sense. But the two covers that I had to listen to a few times, I was like, wow, this is fucking crazy, was South of Heaven by Slayer and Master of Puppets by Metallica, done as like, I don't want to say ballads, but done acoustically. How did you arrive to choosing those songs?
Well, I picked songs that have been important in my life at some point, you know, like, and those both were, you know, South of Heaven was like the anthem when we built our first mini ramp and skateboarding. We're always playing that song on repeat. Metallica's songs, and especially Master of Puppets, was like the first songs when we had our real band. We performed our first gigs at the school, you know, parties and stuff. So we played Master of Puppets. So I picked songs that played an important, huge role in my life and have somehow influenced me as a musician. So it was fun to do these versions in my bedroom, just like kind of very fragile, non-rehearsed things, you know, get close to the live experience a little, because it was tough, you know. Last year, well, last time we played a concert was 2020 in March in Mexico City.
You're right before the lockdown, right? It was right before the lockdown.
Exactly. We had a good timing because we were just going to end our tour there anyway. So we got to play all the shows, and then we were going to go to studio and do all that stuff. But it was a long time. And once you're used to touring and traveling and playing the shows and getting that energy going, and then all of a sudden nothing like that happens in your life, it's really frustrating. And I was really depressed and like pissed off and everything. So I decided, like, I got to do something. And I had this workspace. And I started going there in the middle of the night to kind of to feel a little bit like I was on the stage or something. Like, it was dark and, like, moody and a bit creepy. It's like an old warehouse, in the back of an old warehouse, where I have to, like, sneak in the middle of the night and, like, having these meat hooks hanging from the ceiling and kind of get to the mood and get creative. So I did a lot of that at like about at least a half a year. Now I've been busy with other things, but it was fun.
And you mentioned this a little bit, that you, the South of Heaven and Metallica songs, what you did when you were, your first shows, which was in a school at the 15 year anniversary of the Rasmus, which is so cool. You went back to that same school to perform again, which is fucking, I don't know whose idea that was, but that's a very cool idea.
Yeah, it was a nice thing, because we started our first gig officially at Rasmus. We played the Christmas party in 94, November, in our school. And we had all the classmates and all the students watching there. And they were like, what the fuck is this? And that's how we got started. We have five songs on the first gig. And then 15 years later, we went back to the same stage. And of course, the kids were different, you know, but we invited all the many of the other like old students. And
did you invite all the girls that didn't want to sleep with you in high school and just showed them off? Is that was part of the plan?
Well, exactly. That's what happened. Like they all they care about was the soccer and the sports guys until we became famous.
No, I mean, I think you just hit the nail on the head for the reason 90% of guys get into rock and roll. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
But, it must have felt good to go back there and you know, like take a fucking, I don't know, like a celebrity walk around the school after that, right?
Victory lap, baby.
Yeah, it was
That's
fun.
The word I was like, looking for.
It was, everything was like it used to be, you know. We actually walked the school, the classrooms, and And we remember a lot of the stories. Like there was an incident that the bass player, Aero, one day he sneaked into this, it's like an intercom to school. So you could like talk to the people. And he played our demo there in the middle of the class.
Strong.
That's like the, that was like the old times, like social media.
How long, how much of the music got out before it was shut down?
No, I think like just like a half a minute or something. And then someone came in like,
all text.
What are you doing?
That's pretty fucking badass. That's fucking smart. Whoever did that, give him credit for that. That is cool
as
shit.
Yeah, that was Aero. Yeah.
Right. So, so like, I have been to your home country, to Finland. I want to show this picture. Shannon, you have it handy?
Wow.
This is my brother and I in Finland. I just happen to love this photo. So let's see if you can see it. There's my brother punching me in the face in Finland.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. Let me see if I recognize it.
Look at his form. Look at his form.
That's the street that leads to the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's the Esplanade.
Yeah, Esplanade. Right. Esplanade. That's right. It was a great. Yeah. I you know, we recently had another person on from Denmark, but in general, I'm infatuated with the Scandinavian culture. I just think it's everybody there is so nice. The streets are so clean. People are so happy. It really is amazing to me.
Yeah, well, you've seen one side of it. I can tell.
Yeah, I was there in 2012, so it's 10 years ago I was there.
Yeah, they say that Finland is the most happiest country and always winning their polls and whatever.
Is it weird that it became the happiest country after you moved to Hawaii? Is that strange?
Is that all it takes?
Oh, fuck. That's what it's about. Yeah, but actually we have the highest suicide rate in Finland. So
wait a minute. You have the highest suicide. Finland has the highest suicide rate of Scandinavia.
Yeah, I think maybe the world. I don't know.
No, it's I doubt the world.
Yeah, we're the happiest country, and then people just want to kill themselves.
Well, you're the happiest country because all the upset people murder themselves, so then that's why. It's all left is the happy people.
Right.
What if there's too much happiness? What if it's like, I can't deal with all this wonderfulness, I'm going to jump off a bridge?
I have nowhere else to go but down. I'm so happy. Let's kill ourselves.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, before we go any further, what can I tell you other than fuck do we love this company? It is Blue Chew and their chewables. It's a unique online service that delivers the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at fractions of the cost. And it just makes it easier. You don't have to go to a doctor's office, have an awkward conversation at the pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in a discreet package. And also, these chewables help with all forms of erectile dysfunction and harder and stronger erections. And what I've said, because this is what's happened to me on numerous occasions, is let's say you really want to impress a lady or ladies or dude or whatever the case may be, and you want to make sure you're good for round two, well, boy, is the Blue Chew chewable for you. That's all I'm going to tell you. You go to bluechew.com. All the information, all the details are there. They'll hook you up with an online physician and get you initiated into the Blue Chew chewable lifestyle. Use the promo code SDR. You get that first month free. You just pay the $5 shipping. Again, bluechew.com. Code is SDR. You pay the $5 shipping. And we love that Blue Chew sponsors this podcast and has been doing it for so damn long. All right, let's get back into it. So we're talking about this. Finland is one of those countries that has brought a lot of rock to the world. Like, you know, very often bands are big in one country, but they don't make it across to America or even to Europe, like other areas of Europe. They stay in their country. But with Finland, we have, you know, basically rock royalty, which is Him, Lordi, Nightwish, then Apocalyptica. And I bring up Apocalyptica because specifically you guys just collaborated with them for the newest single, Venomous Moon. So I watched the video of you two out on a boat talking about collaborating together. But can you bring up a little bit like how this came about? Because I know you collaborated with Villa from Him a long time ago, but I could be wrong. But this is the first time I think you've collaborated with Apocalyptica other than that. Am I right?
No, we actually have done that before too.
But with Villa, I thought it was. No, or maybe I'm wrong.
That was together with Apocalyptica, Him, and Erasmus, right? Like three bands in the same package. But we have known each other for a long time. We actually met the first time we had a TV performance, both of us, the first time on the national TV in Finland. We were there with Apocalyptica. It was like a talk show thing. So that's where we met. And I was like, both kind of nervous about the show. And it was like, nice to get to know another band. And ever since, we have done things together once in a while, played tours together. And it's good vibe in Finland. Like, there are quite many bands and there's quite cool scene. And but bands are very supportive to each other, like helping each other out. You know, there was a new band from Finland, barely new band, called Blind Channel.
Right, you did a thing on your channel with on your YouTube with them.
Yeah, and it was nice to talk to the guys. They're like 10 years younger than we are, and like, you know, maybe give them some advice, you know, whatever. They, it was like, it's good to share your experiences. You know, I have had really good conversations with Ville Valo from him, for example, how it feels to be me and, you know, how it feels to be a famous singer. And, you know, it's like the best thing is to do is to talk to another, you know, they would maybe know.
Right. That's why I only,
to a lawyer, it's like,
I very often talk to other fabulously good looking guys because they understand my plight. If that makes any sense. A lot of the music from Finland, which like I'd use him as well as Rasmus and even Nightwish and Apocalyptica. There is like a, and you described it as positive sadness is how the Rasmus music is, but there is a lot of like, you don't hear a lot of songs coming out of Finland that are, I like titties. It's usually some sort of deeper, more like emotional music, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Or Iceland, right?
Yeah. I guess it's just part of the Finnish DNA, you know, like everything we listen when I was a kid was very sad and melancholic. And like, you know, maybe that explains the suicide rate, but also like even the Christmas songs, all my American friends are just laughing at me when I tell them like what kind of Christmas songs we listen to, you know, it's far from being jolly or, you know, happy. It's like,
is that song? There's that song, Mommy Got Murdered Under the Christmas Tree. That was a big one in Finland.
No, but there's like, it's like super sad. Like, I'm talking to this bird. He's my dead brother who came from heaven.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like,
Jesus Christ. Like, you know, no like, wonder you're all like, killing yourself, Lori.
Exactly.
Ho, ho, ho.
So sad.
I mean, what the hell is going on? With the, that's yeah. a Christmas Can song?
I'm going to give you my That's my 10-cent evaluation here is psychologically. Tell me if you agree with this, right? So most of the Scandinavian culture, they are known outwardly not to be very emotional people. They're very stoic. Like they don't, it's not common where you see people doing public displays of affection. They're very well-mannered and reserved. So I'm guessing they're stifling all that and it comes out in music. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, I think that's one channel how you can, you know, get it out of your system. At least works for me. Like I said, I was really feeling really bad last year. And then I started doing these bedroom sessions where I could just go there every day, every night, like play a song, record it and like put it out and like do something. And that was kind of my channel to get rid of the fucked up feelings. And right. I think for many fans, music is the thing.
Well, let me ask you this, and it's funny because at least at this point, 10 different bands we've spoken to, this is the case, which is songs you were working on pre-pandemic sound like they were written because of the pandemic, even though they weren't. And you're the first, I mean, the second single here, you know, is very much that about isolation and separation and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't written during COVID. You wrote it beforehand.
Right. I started the song like at least a year before COVID hit. And so I had this idea of the lyric and, you know, like locked inside to my apartment or whatever, my jail cell. But I was like looking at the moon, like, come on, release me. Let me go. Like, let me die.
Jesus.
Oh. Well, that sounds like a good song for December.
Yeah.
So, what are we releasing that one, my friend? December 21st?
Yeah, Lori sings the Christmas hits. That's when that one's going to be on.
Let's get them all out there. Jingle bells.
Yeah. Black Christmas.
Yeah. That's and the video for it has very much like a Stranger Things kind of 80s vibe to it, right? That was the intent. But can you explain? It's based loosely on, and this goes right, James, to the craziness of Finland. It's based on some sort of weird Finnish childhood story, right?
Yes.
Which is what there's exactly?
There's a thing called Moomins. It's like this white. It's, well, anyway, it's like a kid's story, but it's very deep and like dark again, of course. There is a thing called Grok, the Grok. It's like the monster dude that comes around every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Everybody's scared of him. He looks really creepy and he's like gliding out from the woods and like they're really that way. What he wants to have a friend and he wants to talk to somebody. He wants to come too close to people, but people are just afraid of him and they run away.
By the way, so, I really relate to the story personally. Big creepy guy that just wants friends and everyone's afraid of. It really feels like you're speaking to me directly, Lauren.
Yeah. Anyway, so we wanted to bring some of the Finnish elements to this, but also the Stranger Things, the comparison and the, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. It's really much like it was an American show, but it was like I could like feel my childhood, how everything looked like, and like I really could relate to that.
Cool. And that was the second single, right? If I'm not mistaken, that was the first single was Bones, right?
Right.
And Bones, and watching that video, even listening to it, it felt like if you told me it was the new single on the next James Bond film, I would kind of believe you.
Yeah, it had that sort of cinematic touch to it. It was a little bit different sound. I just wanted to throw it out there and see how people think. And I think some people loved it and some people hated it. You know, it was kind of one of those songs that felt like, oh, we don't really know. Is this like a typical Rasmus thing? Maybe it's the new direction. Just like, it's always nice to surprise the fans a little bit. And that's what we've done with each album, I think. Always something new.
I just guess, but I this think, is one of my I'm sorry, brother. I just
go ahead, go ahead.
This is my favorite interview because you're talking about like Scandinavia and darkness, and I can you're in front
you
of
you hear the birds chirping.
Hear beer birds chirping and I keep looking over your shoulder because I expect at some point you'll be talking about some dark Christmas gnome and a toucan will just start pecking at
or
you.
Someone's gonna hand him a drink and a coconut with an umbrella and he's like, yeah, it's really dark and miserable.
It's unbelievable. You're like, oh man, that's suicide rate. This is the best.
Over his left shoulder there's a guy on tin drums playing, right?
There's gonna be a goddamn iguana just jumping on your shoulder any moment now with a pina colada. Oh baby. Wait in Finland anymore. It's 24 hours away.
Honestly, to be able to work here, I really needed this gloomy workspace I have because it's too bright and it's too surfy and too much reggae. You know, that's what it's all about in Hawaii. Everybody talks about the surfing and I don't even surf. You know, I've tried it a couple of times, but you know, so to be able to get to the mood to write something for the band, I really need to work at nights. I wake up like 4:30 pretty much. And then I go there because my friend, he told me like, it's a good time to wake up. You know, the monks, they would do their meditation around 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I should start doing that. You know, I should get into the zone and like go to my place at 4:30 and like, just like start doing something. And it actually works for me because I'm sort of in the between state of sleep and being awake, this kind of weird twilight zone.
4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you think, James, that he was waking up at 4:30 in the afternoon?
I knew it wasn't possible because they're 5 hours behind us right now. But a part of me is like, you goddamn rock star. This is the craziest thing ever. Working up at 4:30 and he doesn't surf. I'm so puzzled by all this.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, let me ask you this. Laura, you mentioned this, that you guys were sort of lucky in that you were planning the end of the tour anyway last March, and so you were going to go and record, but then COVID hit, and for the first time ever, you guys were all over the fucking world, and for the first time, you recorded this album virtually. Like, you're singing in Hawaii, two of the guys are in Finland, one guy's in California, right? So you're all over the country. How difficult was that as a band?
It was hard. You know, I hate to be talking on the phone, especially doing something creative over the phone. It's like, it's not the right way to do it. But We have been together for 25 years or more. So we have pretty good connection. We know each other so well. So it was possible this time. We had started the process. We had when we started the album, making of the album, we rented a villa in Spain two times, actually spent some good quality time there with the band and playing together. We had all the instruments set up in the living room and just like most beautiful times. And then COVID hit, and then we had to start the recording process over the internet. And it's like, that was really bad.
Right, I have to imagine.
I was recording my vocals by myself in my booth also, but also I was able to go up to the mountains. I recorded some shit on the mountains, some on the beach, some in my car, and the car actually had really good acoustics. It was pretty nice. It was just really hot because I couldn't have the AC on because that would affect the sound. So I was sweating like a pig and singing in my car on the parking lot, and people would just stare at me like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
So does that mean, am I right that in understanding that you had written the album already? You weren't trying to write the album virtually. You were recording the album virtually. Is that basically right?
Well, most part of it was written. And then we just started, we wrote a couple of songs, and actually still in progress. We're still working on the last songs. I recently just flew to Nashville to meet our good friend Desmond Child, worked with him again, wrote a couple of songs, and he's a legend. You know, we used to work together a long time ago, and we came up with some really good shit, so we really wanted to extend this a little bit more.
Because I would wonder, because I'll give you my shitty analogy. So for years, I did a radio show in person, right? This is going back 15 years ago. And then without getting into details, we had to separate me and my co-host, and we were doing it from our homes with no camera, just audio, no visual, nothing. And those first like 20 shows were fucking an abortion. They were horrible because you don't realize how much you feed off of other people. I mean, even Zoom sucks, you know, like there's nothing like in-person communication, right? So I was wondering if when you're first trying to write songs virtually, if you realize, oh my God, these are terrible. Like these, we need to start over because we're just not feeling a connection.
Yeah, well, I was working, because also it's the time difference to Finland, which is like 12 hours sometimes, 11, 12 hours. So it's like, it's morning here, it's nighttime there. So I would write something, and then I would email it to the guys, and then they listen to them, and they're like, oh, well, it's pretty. And then they send it back to me, and, you know, like, it took ages to finish something. And I really hate that, because I believe in that, you know, that instant feedback and that kind of spontaneous thing that happens when you write songs with somebody in the same room. Or in the same
and
space.
Also with that, what every band I've ever spoken to talks about is that give and take. Like, when you go back and forth with each other. Sometimes it's even after the recording session where you're out drinking. You're like, oh, you know what? This would have been great. And that's where brilliance comes from. You don't have that ability right now.
That's true. Yeah. Most of the good stuff comes afterwards. You know, you try so hard playing the instruments and like, oh, this is not going to work out. Let's go to sauna. Let's have some drinks and let's do something else. And then, you know, hey, I got this idea. Why don't we try this? And like kind of the piece of the puzzle, they just click. And then I also work in my sleep, you know, a lot of things, you know, mm-hmm. go into places when I'm out of here, you know? So it's like, a 24-hour work.
You know what I realized, James? Oh, James, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
In your sleep, like your dreams, and then you wake up, you're like, oh, man, F sharp?
Yeah. Not that
one note
like,
at a time. He writes a song one note at a time.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, that was a note.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's in that key now.
I also figured out, I think, while he was talking, why there's such a high suicide rate, because naked sauna is a big part of the Scandinavian culture, and all the guys with small wieners get feelings of inadequacy, so they kill themselves.
I didn't even know this exists. You guys could be, I feel like you're giving me a ruse right here. And
am I right, Lori? Am I not right, Lori, that naked sauna is a big part of the Scandinavian culture?
That is true. Yeah, I just actually had it here in Hawaii last weekend. There's a guy from Finland who's lived here 15 years and we just met and he was like, hey, I built this most incredible sauna. And why don't you come over? And I invited 8-7 guys and we all packed in this room together. Like, how weird is this? Like, if anyone would call me like, hey, why don't you come over? We'll take a shower together and have some drinks. How would that sound like? That would be weird, but
I mean, honestly, Laura, you're turning me on a little bit, if I'm being honest.
We go to sauna, and that's perfectly okay.
It's so weird. It is weird.
Difference?
It is very weird. It's a big part of the culture. Yeah, as long as we're all really hot, it's fine. If there's any water involved, it's not fine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like a Viking thing.
James?
I'm just going to put more. This is, I'm the opposite of you, Ralph. I'm putting more clothes on. I'm trying to see what I could, just hearing you guys talk about that. I'm going to put 3 more layers on.
Yeah, so but now, you know, like sauna is the only word from Finnish language that's come to English.
It's the only one, really?
Yeah, it's a Finnish word. Sauna.
You know what's funny? You bring that up because I had this debate and a question. I was just on a trip. I came back. We were talking about, do you think there's any words that are the same in every language? And I found out, first of all, I guessed on 2 of them and I was right. And they're called global words. There are several global words that are the same everywhere. And my thoughts were, it would have to be new words. So I said, like internet, I imagine would have to be the same everywhere. And I'm right. It's almost, they said like in almost every country, the word internet is the same.
Yeah.
Another one is selfie, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah, there you go. I taught you something. Global words is what they're called. All right, before we go any further, if you are an auto mechanic or a super cool do-it-yourself guy or just someone that loves to work on cars, let me tell you all about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts, and rockauto.com has been in business for fucking 20 years. They make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No longer talking to counter guys who need to order parts or don't know what you're really looking for, never quite sure if they have the right size, the right this, the right that. Why deal with that? Because even if they do find it, they're still going to charge you storefront markups. Head over to rockauto.com. Everything's easy to find, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude who loves working on your car. rockauto.com is the place for you with the same incredible pricing for everyone. And here's how confident they are. There is no promo code. Just go to rockauto.com, buy whatever you need. You'll find it easy. You'll get a great price. And then when you buy it, just tell them you heard about them on the STR show. Thank you, rockauto.com. All right, let's get back into it. So now, with this new album that's coming out relatively soon, I think towards the end of next year is the idea for the release date, right?
Yep.
And how far along are you?
Like 90%.
Okay, and I read somewhere that there's going to be a concept to this record. Is that accurate?
Well, the concept sort of happened itself because of COVID and we were isolated from each other. Like I was here in Hawaii, two other guys in Finland, one guy, the bass player, he lives in Australia. The producer was working from England. The record label is in Sweden. So we're like working from five countries and three different continents.
And the album is called What Time Is It?
Ooh, yeah. What's the time?
Your producer should be on Mars with Elon Musk at this point.
Yeah, they only record when Project X goes into space.
But only with this modern technology, we were able to do this. You know?
So that's something to do with technology, in theory, is what the album is. And I know you've been super secretive. You will not say the name of the album to anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Fair enough.
Yo, it's Fight Club. That's what it is.
I think you should call it, make it really much part of the industry. Call it You're On Mute. And that way, everyone can relate to it. I think that'd be great. So I have a couple of quick stories left, and then we'll ask the question. So I love this story, which is kind of cool. When you guys were first starting out, you're watching some big TV charity event in Finland that's at a stadium, and you said to the guys, wouldn't it be cool if we played there? And then 1 year later, not only are you playing in that goddamn arena, but you had the keys to go record there and rehearse there whenever the fuck you wanted. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, that was the stadium gig we did. Like there was it was like a charity thing. Every year they do it in Finland. And we were watching the TV at the rehearsal room. Like, damn it, we should be there, not them. You know, we have this great song and fuck, you know, we got to do something. And it really took 1 year. We were there headlining the thing and things just like fell in place. And then later on, we were rehearsing at the stadium. We had the keys. The drummer's dad was like, I don't know, some handyman there. He got us the keys and we had this room, which was really bad with acoustics because it was all concrete. But anyway, it was a cool thing that we could walk. We used to rehearse in the daytime. So we would go there and we had the keys. We had breakfast on the field in the middle of the
stadium, arena.
Stadium. Yeah. Just like sitting there before we played anything, like for 1 hour, just getting inspired by the surroundings. And then we got into our.
I mean, that's pretty fucking awesome.
To play. I was good. Oh.
All right. Now, this last story, which I want you to elaborate on because I don't even understand it. And then we're going to wrap this. But so you talked about somewhere that you would eat anything, right? I don't know if you still feel this way, right? But you didn't mind. And fans send food all the time and you eat it blindly, which is moronic, but whatever. And the story I heard, which I don't even understand any of this, was that you were in Taiwan and they had three bowls for you: snake blood, snake saliva, and snake poison. And if you eat it in the right order, you don't die.
I mean, what's going on here? What the
can you allow? I mean, I don't even understand that. What the fuck? Why? And was it even? Was there any flavor to it? Was it good? Is it just some sort of I'm a man? Like, what the fuck is it?
It tasted like alcohol. I don't know why. It was on a TV show.
They brought it out on the show like a Joe Rogan kind of thing that.
It's
yeah, I was just like, yeah, we heard you want to try different things and you eat everything. So here we go. Eat this. And then I was okay. And then there was a certain order and I need to drink this stuff because if I wouldn't, I mean, you know, the saliva would kill the poison and somehow all the mix would like make me survive that. So I had to like drink it up like really quickly. And then I was like, what if I'm just going to die here? All these cameras rolling and how cool that would be.
Do you still have this philosophy that you will try anything or no?
Well, I think I was 15 years younger then.
Right. And you have a kid now too, I think, right? That changes everything. Yeah, I would imagine.
I have some responsibilities.
Yo, we should
actually just got a baby a week ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, it's been tough. I haven't slept any.
What were you going to say, James? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say we should do that with American game shows. Like you should have to drink poison and survive if you want one of those things in Price is Right. Those
That's a good idea. I like that. You know that I ate the what's called fugu, which is poisonous blowfish.
Oh my
that God. If not treated right will kill you. But a place yeah. I went to, it is funny that they felt this was reassuring. The guy said, don't worry, these were babies. So if we fucked it up, the worst thing will happen is you're going to feel like shit for a week. I'm like, that's well, that great. Doesn't fucking yeah. make me feel very good. Yeah. But I did do it. And it didn't taste good. Like, to me, if you're going to risk your life for a food, it better be fucking incredible. Or else, see, what's the point?
See, you eat that on Wheel of Fortune, free spin. Even there if you get go. Bankrupt, you get a free spin, baby. Come on.
Right. And also, I mean, just to round this up before we do the first, I will say it again. That Dead Letters record was fucking awesome. I used to listen to it left and right. I followed the career straight through Dark Matters, but goddamn it, was In the Shadows. Like, my favorite part of the song, which is such a stupid thing, and I don't know whose idea this was, the producer or whatever, at the last the last hook part, you take a breath, and you clearly hear the breath, and I always love that part of the song. It's such a little minute detail, but it always added a little, like, in-the-moment energy of that song. I fucking loved it. Wow. I wanted to say that. So now we'll do the first, Shannon.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SGR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We end the show every time with this question about your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. I'm going to imagine it's some fucking Finnish band we've never heard of, but maybe I'm wrong. The first concert you ever went to, sir?
First concert, it was actually together with Guns N' Roses and Skid Row. They played a tour together. I must have been like 11 or something. They came to Finland, Helsinki, to play, and my sister took me there. I have a big sister. She's 4 years older than me. And I went there and I was blown away, especially by Skid Row, which I was a fan of at the time.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I saw that same tour, but in America, the middle bill was Billy Squire. It was Skid Row, Billy Squire. Oh, no, that's right. That's wrong. That was Bon Jovi. It was Skid Row, Billy Squire, Bon Jovi. Skid Row, Guns N' Roses was years later. You're a lot younger than me. I just figured that out. Shit.
Lonely is the night, baby. Lonely.
Yeah, and then the song that ruined his life, My Kind of Lover, ruined Billy Squire's life.
I love that song. Can I be
you
ever honest?
You know that song ruined his life, right?
The video did, right?
The video ruined his life. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay, so now, the first drug you ever did, Lori, after weed, unless you've never done a drug harder than weed or whatever, I don't know.
Well, I try to stay off drugs. Like, the weed is the hardest I've tried.
Oh, really? How old were you?
Yeah. I can remember, like, something, maybe 16.
Right. Not like a big that. Part of your life. Okay, fair. And now, the first time you had sex?
That was very late. It was weird because I had all these opportunities, but I was kind of like, it's not the right time. I was 20.
Wow, you know why? I'm going to tell you why, Lori. You're too busy getting naked with the boys in a sauna. So you didn't even look at the women.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, which way to go.
That snake blood just changed your judgment.
20 is definitely older, especially for, were you already in the Rasmus at that point, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that is a late bloomer for a rock star.
Wow, Bubbas.
I know. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's pretty wild. All right.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of it. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
So now Venomous Moon is out now. Is there a time when the next single is going to drop, or you don't know?
We don't know exactly. Still, this is just like being played on the radios right now. So everything's looking good. Working on some stuff still to complete the album. And
the album to be looked at. The album title yet to be known, which should be out towards the end of next year. You can follow The Rasmus at The Rasmus Official or therasmus.com. The Rasmus Official is on Instagram. And Lori, I'm not even trying to pronounce your last name, is also on Instagram by his full name. But you could see the link on The Rasmus Official if you don't know how to spell Lori Yelonin, however you say that. We're going to go around the room and do plugs. Before I do that, anything else you want to plug, Lori?
No. How do you think of my strength? My arm is still holding up.
It's still holding up. It's a little wobbly, though, I'll be honest, but it's not bad. Better than I could have done. Better than I could have done. All right, James, your plugs?
I think it's the naked sauna. It gives him a different kind of strength, buddy. The James Madden on Instagram. Think pattern, but throw an M up in there. New podcast dropping with Shuli. It is called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. It is comedians asking comedians stories about bombings and their early horrible jokes. And my new album dropped November 12th. It is called The Check Spot. It is the worst part of the comedy show where comedians dread doing it. And I did a whole album, people paying their bills while drunk and asking me questions. Album of the year. I'm calling it already, baby. Give me the record of the year. Let's go.
I'll give it to you. All right. Now, Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have interesting people from all walks of life come on and tell their personal experiences with their worst date experience, a street fight that they've been in, and their experiences with the paranormal.
All right. And now don't give us any clues, Lori, but I ask this to every guest if they believe in the paranormal. I'm saying Lori does. James, what do you say?
I say I'm going to go with the Scandinavian thing again. It bit me last time. I'm going to go no. I'm going to say they have real problems.
All right. Shannon, what do you say?
So I think when he hears the question, initially he's going to think no. But after he thinks about it for a little bit, he's like, you know what? Yes, I do believe in it.
Okay. So, Lori, do you believe in ghosts?
You sound like the mafia trying to change someone's opinion.
Lori, do you believe in the afterlife and ghosts?
Yeah, I do. I get a lot of experiences.
Oh, come on, Shannon Joe. Go on, Shannon Joe. Wait, definitely go on, Shannon Joe.
Speaking to my room.
Yeah. And also, have you been a few fistfights in your life?
Not so many.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter.
I'm a fast runner.
All right. So follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every single Monday called The Good Sugar Podcast with the founder of Juice Press, where we journey and follow along with me trying to become a better person. We're going to play it right now. Venomous Moon with The Rasmus and special guest Apocalyptica. The new album should be out soon. The video is great and we'll play it right now. Lori, Rasmus, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll see everybody next week on the SDR show.
You've been listening to the SDR show.